Hey everybody, this episode of the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. If you type in promo code SEXNERD at checkout, you get so many things. 50% off almost any item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a super secret gift. And P.S., Adam and Eve sent me a magical box, and I opened it, and I got 3 items inside, and one of them was the head honcho. Now, the head honcho is a male masturbation sleeve. I did, in fact, ask for something on the male side, and I giggled because I've heard lots of great things about this toy, so now I have it. Now I just need to have a sexy friend slap it on and let me know what they think. So anyway, the head honcho is $27.95, and I thought it was cool that they sent me one, so I look forward to trying it out. Anyway, if you go to adamandeve.com, type in sex nerd at checkout to get 50% off almost any item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and that super secret gift. Ah, so many things. Ah, fun.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hello, friends. Sandra Doherty here. Today, we are going to explore something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time. And to do so, I have in the studio, here at Nerdist Industries headquarters, Dr. Charlie Glickman. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Sandra. Nice to be here tonight.
Yay! You were wonderful enough to donate some time several months ago for the Sex and Shame episode, right?
Oh, yes, I was.
Yes.
We did do that.
In the Vibrator Museum up in San Francisco.
Yes, up at Good Vibrations.
That's right. Oh, good episode. People really enjoyed that one.
Well, that is one of my favorite topics. In fact, just today I was down at California State Long Beach talking about sex, shame, and love to the students there. So,
cool.
Yeah, I geek out about that a lot.
Oh, man. I feel like that's something I need to explore a lot more in the coming years.
That's my next book.
Please write it now.
I'm working on the book tour for this current book.
Immediately. Okay, fine. We can talk about your current book because it's super cool too. Actually, I just attended your workshop last night for it. It is The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, Erotic Exploration for Men and Their Partners. That's a really sexy title.
It is a sexy title.
Yeah, and it's all-encompassing to everyone.
Well, and that's what we wanted because we wrote this book for men of all sexual orientations, whether they are partnered or solo, whether they are having sex with men, women, both trans people, whatever. You know, we wanted to be able to talk about prostate massage and prostate play for all kinds of guys.
Hmm. This is exciting. So last night at the beginning of the class, you were asking everyone, like, why are you here? What do you want to learn? And like, some people raise their hand and like, oh, I want not hurt. And someone else is like, I want to explore it with a partner. It's like, I want to tell someone how to play with my prostate. And then I raised my hand because everyone was so tentative, you know, and just like hesitant about it. And do you remember what I said?
Remind me. I remember it was really cute.
I was like, I want to know how to drive a man wild with my hands.
That's right. That was really cute. I knew I remembered that.
I was like, let's get down to business, people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
I loved it. I loved it. It was great. And your co-author, Aislinn, is so ridiculously nerdy about especially the anatomy portion, and she was just detail oriented to a point. Like, I can see that you are the heart and the kind of you're the visionary of the message, and then she's just like details, 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 details. Adorable.
Well, and that's what makes us a really good pair. We've got really complementary skills. So when we were writing the book, that's exactly the split that we had, is I was really all about, let's make sure people feel good about this, and let's talk about this in a way that is really inclusive. And then Aislinn would take that and do research and email doctors or spend 3 days looking up a quote to be exactly the point that we were trying to make. So between us, we really covered things very nicely. Yeah. It's been a real pleasure working with her on this project.
Good team.
Okay, so before we get into it, I just want to let you know, we're going to be talking specifically about the prostate. But if you need a lot of beginner anal basics knowledge, we did already do an episode called Booty Basics. So I would say, you know, go to iTunes or however you access the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast and scroll through and find Booty Basics. It's closer to the beginning. And check it out, because that's a lot of fun knowledge. So that way, Charlie, we can get into the prostate. And where is the prostate?
So the prostate gland is located in men. And also trans women. It's a couple of inches inside the body. The easiest way to find it is if you insert a finger inside the anus and then curl towards the belly button. So it's not in the rectum, but it's right next door to the rectum. So you're feeling it through the wall of the rectum. And so it's just about a finger's distance inside. If you've got short fingers, there are some things you can do to work with that. But it's pretty similar in that way to the G-spot, which is a couple of inches inside the vagina on the front wall. So if you have done G-spot play, you already have a head start on prostate play. Just go anal instead of vaginal.
Although, I mean, I find that the G-spot on females is often not as deep in vaginally.
Yeah. It's closer, both because the anus has a depth of about an inch and a half. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go another inch to get to the prostate. So it is a little bit deeper, but the techniques are often very similar, which is part of why a lot of people talk about the prostate as the male G-spot.
Inch and a half of anus, do you mean the sphincter muscles before you get back into the rectum where it opens up?
Right.
And you can kind of move around a bit more? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I never thought about that. That really does add on some distance.
Yeah, it's about an inch to an inch and a half.
Yeah. My fingers are always almost too short to reach it. Always.
Well, and so if your fingers are on the short side, you can take advantage of the flexibility of the pelvic floor muscles, and you basically just push in a little bit deeper, and the muscles will sort of tent in a little bit, so you can reach a little bit more deeply that way.
You're talking about if the guy's partner is already in Foley, like let's say an index finger or a middle finger, they would just kind of press their fist in a little bit more and put pressure on those muscles.
Exactly. So it's not putting another finger in. It's pressing in a little bit further with the base of your finger, and the muscles will have some flexibility, so you can reach more deeply. Because a lot of people, especially a lot of women, have short fingers, and they may not be able to reach the prostate.
Yeah. I mean,
without that technique.
I've gotten bossy, Charlie. Like, I've gotten real bossy.
Okay.
But I have very short girl fingers. Like, really. So, I'm just, I mean, I know they're toys. Oh, I'm sure we'll get
there
into
are
that.
Toys. We'll talk about that.
Yes. But, so, okay. That's the prostate. That's where it is.
So the prostate gland, though, it's about the size of a plum. And that's the texture that you're looking for. So if you insert a finger and curl towards the belly button, you're looking for something that feels like a ripe plum.
I think a plum is really big.
Well, a small plum. An apricot.
Like those little tiny tangerines that they sell at Trader Joe's.
With the cuties?
Yeah.
That might work, too. The tricky thing about describing the size of the prostate is that it changes. It changes both when guys get turned on, because what the prostate does is produce the fluid that makes up semen, part of the fluid. So when you get turned on, it's busy filling up like a little water balloon, and then when you ejaculate, it squeezes all that fluid out. For ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as men get older, once we hit about 40, our prostates often just start getting bigger on their own. About 50% of men by the age of 50 have an enlarged prostate, and by 80, that number increases to 80%. So in younger guys, it might be more difficult to find if he's not turned on yet. In older guys, the baseline size is larger, so it's easier to locate.
Okay. Question. Is the prostate getting larger because it's filling up and holding onto more fluid, or is it inflamed, or what is making it enlarged? Do you know?
Neither of those. It just grows. The prostate, when folks are born, the prostate is a lot smaller, and then at puberty, hormones cause it to grow just like hormones cause breasts to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the mid-20s to late-20s, there's another surge of growth in the prostate, and then it grows slowly for the rest of somebody's lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it just does that. One possible explanation might be that it's due to testosterone, because medications that lower testosterone also seemed to decrease certain prostate health issues. But nobody really, we don't know for sure what the cause is, but that's one possible explanation.
Well, that's helpful. There's so much to know in the sex kingdom.
Oh, absolutely.
In all those little details, it's just like, what about this? What about that? What about this?
Yeah, I'd love to have all the answers.
Does anyone know all the answers?
No.
Who knows everything about sex?
No, nobody does. Sorry.
Charlie, get on it.
Well, part of it is that there's not a lot of funding for good research.
Well, there's that.
There's that. And part of it is that it's so complex because everything connects to your sexuality. So your physical state, your mental state, your emotional state, and there are so many pieces to the puzzle that it's actually much more complex than a lot of people realize.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, just in terms of the biology, it's complex.
Oh, yeah. And Aislinn, I'm sorry, what is Aislinn's full name?
Aislinn Amirzian.
Yes, she's great. And I only met her briefly, and I was like, you're cool. Clearly.
Oh, she's awesome.
Clearly, we should be friends. Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good choice.
But it was actually her idea. The book was her idea.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she and I used to both work at Good Vibrations in San Francisco. She was working in the store, and she noticed one day she was restocking the toys on the floor. And for the G-Spot toys, there were books and DVDs and how-to guides. Mm-hmm. And then she walked a few feet over, and in the prostate toy section, there were books on anal sex, but there was nothing specifically about the prostate. So she decided to write it and then pulled me in on the project a couple of months later.
Right. And you filled up, like, how thick is the book?
340-something pages.
It's a thick book. I mean, it's, you know, juicy.
Is it too
knowledge.
Thick for you, Sandra?
I can take it.
Awesome.
And so can my bookcase. Although, Charlie, you're staying at my house, so...
You've got the best bookcase.
Thank you.
I was going to tweet this the other day. I've always believed that you can tell a lot about somebody by looking at their bookshelves, and your bookshelves look like somebody who I would want to know if I didn't already know you.
Now, does that mean the furniture?
No,
or do you
just
mean
the
what's
stuff
the
that,
books on?
The books on them.
Oh, okay, I was like, well, because I love my bookcase. What? I was all like, this is my bookcase, clearly my dream bookcase. Because it's got all the little stylized things on the side.
Too. But no, you've got some great books.
Thank you. I mean, yeah. I feel like the sex books have like swallowed up and killed all the other books.
They do that.
But I have my travel section. What books did you like?
I just admired the range of books on your shelves.
Oh.
Like I mean, there's something about everything.
Oh. I thought everybody was like that, no?
No, most people's bookshelves, if they're not sex nerds, you know, their books tend to focus on the things that they personally like to do. Now, maybe you do like to do all of these things, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, there's travel and language.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And sewing and
it's awesome.
Origami. Got to have an origami book. That's important.
I don't have an origami book.
Well, what if you need to make a crane or something or a cup to drink? Okay.
I'll Google it. If I need it, I will Google it.
Look, guys, survival tip. Know how to origami yourself a cup, because that shit comes in handy when you're thirsty.
Or for carrying lube.
Or carrying lube.
Like if you're on a hot, sexy date or at a play party and you need to get some lube from point A to point B, an origami cup might just save the day.
I need to have a lube water cooler now. Just like a little mini one so that you could like take little cups, like the ketchup dispenser at a burger place, and just bring your lube over. That sounds amazing.
Best idea ever. All right, so let's come back to the prostate.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was exciting. And books. Yeah. But anyway, wait. Why were we talking about... Oh, we were talking about your book and then the fact that you... Oh, you also get to see all the books stacked on the ground.
Yeah.
And all my... Well, anyway. Hi. Yes, let's get back to the prostate.
Please do.
I love PS. Okay, like I... As an educator and as somebody who's just a total geek about all of this stuff, I mean, I know how to get my way around a prostate. Like, I know things. I know technique. But, like, anybody knows, or anybody who's open-minded, there's so much more to know. And you two blew my mind with that milking. That, I don't even know what you call it, but where you start on one side.
Prostate milking.
Yeah, but the actual arrows that were drawn. And
Well, you know, when we wrote the book, both Aislinn and I had a fair bit of personal knowledge and experience as sex educators, but we knew that we needed to talk to more people. So we sent out a couple of surveys, and between our two rounds of surveys, we heard from almost 200 people, men as well as partners. And some of our survey participants gave us some of the most brilliant ideas and suggestions and descriptions. And, you know, the book really wouldn't have been as good without their participation, which was awesome. And I actually think that's something that more sex guides should have, because a lot of the books that I read tend to seem like the author is talking about their own sex life rather than a more general perspective.
Yeah.
And we wanted to change that.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's amazing, actually. Now that you think of it, that is something that for me, even in considering writing a book, I'm like, I don't really want to speak from just me. I mean, I want to combine info. Is a sampling of 200 for a survey, is that a lot for a book or a little? I have no comparison.
Well, you know, we kept surveying people until we felt like we had a lot of information to work with, because sooner or later you have to just sit down at the computer and start typing. You know, it's easy to keep looking for just one more survey, just one more participant. But when we started seeing a lot of repetition, you know, when the amount of new information was decreasing because we were hearing a lot of the same stuff over and over again.
I love that.
That's when we felt like it was time to actually, you know, put it on the screen.
What were some things that you heard over and over again?
Well, one of the questions that we asked was, how would you describe what prostate sensations feel like? And the best description that we heard different variations of it, but one of the best descriptions that we heard was that it feels like the beginning of an orgasm, because the prostate contracts during orgasm, and that's the first part of ejaculation.
Oh, right. It flutters
It flutters, and it squeezes all of the fluid out into the urethra, and then the muscles take over and pump it out, and that's when ejaculation happens. So most men are familiar with that sensation just from having sex, but it usually just lasts a few seconds. So imagine that sensation right when you peak, and instead of lasting for just a couple of seconds, you can do that for half an hour.
Oh, man.
Or a couple of hours if your partner's into that, or if you have a vibrator or what have you. And that was a really powerful thing for this guy to say, because that's what we were looking for. How do we describe this to people? It's like the beginning of an orgasm. We also heard from a lot of men. We asked, what are some of your common concerns and questions? What held you back from trying this? And we heard three. Is this going to hurt? Is this going to be messy? And is this going to make me gay?
And yes to all three.
No to all
three.
Well, so... No. It's interesting, though, because the concerns about is this going to be messy or hygiene or what have you, we are getting, you know, most of the response to the book has been overwhelmingly positive. But this is one area where we've been getting some negative response from people. And it's fascinating to me, the hygiene concerns are so much bigger when we're talking about men receiving anal sex compared to women receiving anal sex.
From their partners or from themselves?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Or just random people commenting on the internet.
Huh.
And that makes sense, because when we're talking about men receiving anal penetration, there's a lot of masculinity and gender roles and homophobia. And those all fold into this. Whereas with women receiving anal sex, it's a different kind of penetration. But for a lot of people, they have this idea that penetration is what women are supposed to do.
What do you mean it's different kinds of it's like a different kind of
Anal versus vaginal penetration.
I thought you meant like female penetration.
And so it's been an interesting thing. The hygiene concerns are exactly the same, no matter who's on the receiving side. But...
yeah, the anatomy is basically the same in terms of anus, rectum, digestive tract.
So it's just been an interesting thing to observe that you know, some of the pushback that we're getting is around hygiene, but I think that's really masking some people's homophobia.
You think that the hygiene
concerns? I think people feel squicked about men receiving... some people...
Oh, define squicked. Okay, I love that term.
So a squick is when you have that... It's a disgust reaction. Mm-hmm. It's a ew kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And there are...
But it doesn't have to be judgy, right? The squick is... At least Kate McCombs was describing that to me, that being squicked is a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
And you may not be judging, but you just can't help but feel that way.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the question is, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference between saying, I feel squicked by this, and that thing you're doing is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is taking responsibility for your reactions. The second one is blaming the other person.
Yeah.
So a lot of people feel squicked around men receiving anal play, and I think that amplifies their hygiene concerns, or they're using hygiene as an excuse. Because some of these people don't say the same things when they're talking about women and anal sex.
Hmm. I feel like there's also another thing.
Bring it.
Which is possibly that, I don't know, as a female, I mean, also on Jezebel or HuffPost, there was this amazing thing about, I sent it to Megan and to you because we both have, it's an inside joke really, but it's an article about how society teaches women that they're not supposed to, like, you don't pass gas in public and you don't, and no, like, there's no acknowledgement that we are humans. Like, we're not supposed to ever go to the bathroom. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, we're just these pretty little things that are just, I don't know, supposed to look cute and giggle. I don't understand. And there's a lot around that. The thing that I'm trying to point out, though, is that guys get to be fully human in a lot of ways in terms of their bodily functions. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more thought about guys and fecal matter. You know, like, there's a more of a...
Well, except that, you know, the jokes about farting and, you know, 10-year-old boys seeing who can fart and all of that kind of thing. That's true. I'm totally with you on that. But none of that is about receiving penetration, getting fucked, or anything like that. That's the distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot more squick about men getting fucked than there is about women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a whole... Yes. I would say just about fecal. I just think, like, I don't know, women are over-eroticized when it comes to, or...
Yeah.
I'm not being very eloquent right now.
Bring it back. Ask me another question.
Oh, bring it back. Oh. I don't know. I mean, I'm just having fun right now. It's... I mean, we talked about the prostate.
Yeah.
Where it is.
Yeah. And there's a lot more information about where it is, how to find it on our website, which is prostatepleasureguide.net. And the website has all the basic tips because we really wanted it to give you enough to get started. And then if you decide that it's something that you like, the book has dozens and dozens of tips and tricks and ideas and advice. But you can also find blog posts, toy reviews, mm-hmm. advice, that kind of thing. So we have a lot of stuff on our website.
Say the website again.
Prostatepleasureguide.net.
Prostatepleasureguide.net. Can you buy the book there?
There's a link to buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
We don't sell directly, but you can find it on Amazon and at sex-positive toy stores all over the country, including the Pleasure Chest and Good Vibrations and Babeland and all those other great places that have awesome toys.
Yeah, all the forward places. Yeah, all the forward-thinking places. I like it. No, I demand that if you're interested in prostate play for you or your partner, get this book. Seriously. It gets worth having a book on this.
And for the guys out there who aren't sure about it, if you've ever been on the giving side of G-spot pleasure and you've seen how awesome that can be, imagine being able to receive that much pleasure. And, you know, I'm not saying that you can't also enjoy sex that's focused on your cock. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that, too. I just believe in having more choices.
And combos.
Yeah, combos. It's like having a whole buffet instead of just one meal over and over again.
Oh, that's so good. I love...
Sex as buffet. Trust me, it's awesome.
Get some pudding. I love pudding. I'm sorry.
Pudding? Really?
I'm sorry.
You went there.
Okay, when I think of a buffet, I immediately think of the dessert area, and then I get really excited about pudding. But I realize that this isn't a good moment for that.
No, not so
Try
much.
Try the bok choy. I don't know. Go somewhere else.
You're blushing. It's really adorable.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Getting back to the butt buffet.
Please do.
Well, now that we've covered the basics, why would a guy want to experience this? I mean, pleasure, I understand that there are definite health benefits.
Well, there's not a lot of research on the health benefits. There's some research that suggests that prostate massage can help with prostatitis, which mm-hmm. is an inflammation of the prostate. Mm-hmm. It has a bunch of different possible causes, including bacterial infection, mm-hmm. physical irritation, that kind of thing. But it also makes sense that it might help reduce the risk of some other prostate health issues. For example, the prostate can sometimes get bacterial infections, and the bacteria can form what's called biofilms. That's like when they clump together and form a surface layer to protect them. It's like the plaque on your teeth.
Ooh.
That's a biofilm.
Okay.
And part of what brushing your teeth does is it breaks up the biofilm so that you can rinse the bacteria away.
Oh. Yeah,
prostate massage might break up a possible biofilm so that your immune system can get in there and get rid of the bacteria.
You're telling me that there is not much research on this?
There's not a lot of research on the health benefits of prostate massage. We have a whole chapter in the book about the possible benefits
mm-hmm.
Because it makes a lot of sense that there would be, but... You know, there's not much research for things that don't make companies money.
Right. Well, I mean...
And, you know, who's going to make money off of prostate massage? Well, some people make money off of prostate massage, but but they don't have the funds to do the research.
I mean, I know that some doctors, urologists, when there's a prostate issue, sometimes the patient has to come back again and again for prostate massage and narrow choice, which I've talked about before on the show, are, you know, hands-free prostate massagers.
Yeah, can't say enough good things about the Aneros toys.
Right.
They are hands-free. You insert them, and then when you contract your pelvic floor muscles, it's the exact same motion that when you have a hard on, it makes your cock bounce. That's the muscle contraction that I'm talking about. And when you do that, it levers the toy into your prostate for hands-free stimulation. You can also wear it during sex with a partner. Like, wearing one of these during intercourse is awesome.
I have seen some magical things happen.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Can't say enough good things about Aneros. And also, the guys who design the toys, I think they're all guys, the people who design the Aneros toys, they know their anatomy. I've been working as a sexuality educator for a long time, and I've seen a lot of toy companies where the people who design them don't seem to understand human bodies very well.
Yeah.
The people at Aneros understand bodies. They're awesome.
It's important.
Yeah.
I wish... Well, now I'm just kidding. This is what happens with when I fractal knowledge and then I just want to dig deeper and deeper into a thing, but then I know that we're on a topic. I took so many notes on at your class. Like, look at these notes.
That's this, like 6 pages of notes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I didn't... It was just interesting things that were said. You know what's funny is watching someone else teach a subject that I teach, but then in a different way. And when you told everyone about how if your partner has longer fingernails, to use a glove but then put cotton balls in them, right? You'd said that, but you said two things that I've never thought of or heard anyone say, and I was like, it gets better to break apart the cotton balls into smaller pieces and use a pencil to push them into the tips. I'm like, well, that's an important... These are the details, Charlie, that matter.
I'm very detail-oriented.
Well,
and when Aislinn and I were working on the book, you know, we spent a lot of time figuring out, you know, exactly how does this work? And she would go home and try it, and I would go home and try it, and then we'd come back together and talk about, you know, how we wanted to put it into words.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So the trick, if you've got long fingernails and you're giving somebody anal penetration, take a cotton ball, shred it into thirds or quarters, jam the pieces into the tip of a glove with a pencil, and then when you put the glove on, you'll have a little bit of cushioning on your fingertips and save your manicure.
Both gloves are so handy.
As it were.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, the puns are fast and furious with this. I'd like to say that when we wrote our book, we saw an opening that needed to be filled.
Ooh. Anyway, at the Swissy training 2 weeks ago when I was there, of course at the opening welcome, I was like, you know, I'm just here to, like, you know, fill in all the holes of my foundation. And I was like, why did I just say that at a sex training? Why did that just come out of my mouth?
And what did everybody say?
And I think I felt a couple people uncomfortably shift. Like, that was it. Like, there was no laughter, just like, because we didn't know each other well enough, all of us. Okay. Entering the anus. That, I mean, we've covered in Booty Basics a bit, but you did talk about one thing where you slide down and hook your finger. Can you talk about that for a minute? Because I always talk about kind of rubbing, pressing like a doorbell, and then tipping in, pivoting like mid-finger on the sphincter muscles.
Yeah, that works too.
Yes. Tell me about the hooking. I'm like gesticulating at him excitedly.
It's kind of remarkable. So the trick about making anal play fun is that you have to seduce the anus every single time. Even people who are experienced anal players still often need a warm-up beforehand. You can be an Olympic athlete. You still need to stretch before you go for a run.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to warm up and take it nice and slow and gentle. And so the technique that we described in the workshop, the anus is made up of two rings of muscle. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you slide your fingers externally down the butt crack.
Tailbone down.
Yeah, tailbone down. Or tailbone up, depending on position. Mm. But basically, as your fingertip passes over the anus, you curl just the very end of your finger, just a little bit.
Just the first tiny knuckle past your nail.
Yeah. And you just curl it enough that it kind of hooks into that external sphincter. And then if you give it a very, very gentle tug, you can stretch the opening open just a little bit. And that lets you then tip your finger in.
Give it the hook.
Give it the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try that. Let me know what you find when you try that next time.
I tried that on someone once, and they were like, ugh, don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
But then again, the feeling, that sensation, when I've experienced that, is actually quite nice, because it does feel like there's a stretching. But then, oh my God, Aislinn last night. Sorry, I'm talking like, I feel like a fangirl who's like, oh my God, I totally just saw you in concert, and I have to talk about how cool it was.
Bring it.
No, Aislinn was all like, that it's not so much about stretching the muscles. Do you remember?
Yeah. It's not about stretching the muscles open. It's about the receiver relaxing the muscles open.
Yeah, relaxing. Like, almost like hacking into the system,
yeah,
and shutting down the security, and the muscles just sort of stop trying to protect.
I like that description.
Body. Yeah. It just shuts down. Yeah.
Well, and when we're nervous or stressed out, the anus tightens up, the pelvic floor tightens up. There's a reason why people who are stressed out all the time, we call them tight asses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a turn of phrase. It's literally true. So it's useful. It's important to make sure that the receiver is genuinely, truly relaxed. You can't fake it.
Mm-hmm. You can't just say relax.
No, because if you tell someone to relax, they tense up more.
Mm-hmm. Tell me relax.
Relax.
Do it again.
Relax. Yeah, you look stressed.
Yeah, it doesn't help at all.
It doesn't. You actually need to. One of the survey respondents told us that for him, anal penetration only works when his heart and his body and his mind are all on board.
Oh, that's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's all the things.
Yeah, it's a big meeting of everything. Oh, man. Okay, so we're at the prostate with fingers, let's say. Let's say I'm asking you, like, oh, my fingers are in my partner. What do I do now, Charlie? What do I do?
Awesome question. So a couple of tips.
Okay.
One is that sometimes there's a middle zone. If you go too soft, you're not going to get much prostate sensation. But if you go too hard, you're going to overwhelm it, and it can be uncomfortable or painful.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it, instead of poking at it, we like to say stroke, don't poke. Instead of poking at it like ringing a doorbell, think of it like a consistent, even pressure, like spreading butter on toast.
Ooh.
Butter on toast. That's the texture that you're looking for.
Sexy butter.
Yeah. You can...
use lube. P.S. Okay,
yeah.
The end.
Lots and lots of lube.
Okay, keep going.
You need lube. I'm a big fan of silicone lube, by the way. Just
good,
saying.
Good to know.
Where were we? So you've got your fingers on somebody's prostate. You have found the rounded gland that feels like a ripe plum. And some different techniques you can do. One really great one to start with is tapping, which is about the same pressure that you would use when you're typing on a keyboard. Just tap.
Okay. Tap, tick, tick, tap, tick, 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 tick.
And not that fast.
Okay. Right, I was mimicking the hacking.
Yeah, she's doing the typing motion.
System.
So, you can do tap, tap, tap at that kind of speed. You can do a little bit faster. So probably the fastest you would want to go is more like tap, 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 tap.
So if you're playing music, maybe the Portishead Pandora station.
Well, this is an interesting thing because somebody sent me a link to a blog post where they had determined that the ideal frequency for G-spot play was 120 beats per minute.
Okay.
So I actually am needing to do a little bit of experimentation to figure out if it's the same for prostate play. Okay. But that's about a good range.
But was that a science-y figuring out, or was that...
No, they just sat down and figured out what worked for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the way that I'm going to do this, I actually have an app on my phone called Metronome that lets you measure the beats per minute of music by tapping the screen, and it'll tell you how many BPM that song is.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to do a little experimentation with somebody who's going to tell me what their frequency is, and then I'm going to tap on the phone and figure out what works.
Oh, that's good.
I thought this would appeal to the sex nerd in the room.
Oh, yeah. Me.
That would be you.
Monica, are you a sex nerd? Okay, she's nodding. We're slowly turning her every podcast she sits in to record. Slowly. She's smiling big. Adorable.
That's awesome.
She's adorable.
But tapping is a good one. You can do tapping with one finger. You can do tapping with two fingers. You can also alternate. So A, B, A, B, A, B.
Right, because the prostate isn't just a circular plumb. It's got that indent in the middle. And it's sort of like a...
Right, so the prostate is about an inch across when it's unaroused. Mm-hmm. It gets bigger when he gets more turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the backside, the portion of the prostate that you're massaging, has a groove that runs from the top to the bottom. So it's possible if you have your finger exactly in the center of his body, you might be in that groove and not be able to reach the prostate. So if you move a quarter inch to the left or right, you'll be more able to feel it. When he gets more turned on and the prostate fills up with fluid, or when he gets a little bit older, then the concavity fills out and it's a little bit easier to find. But all right, let me come back. So we've got tapping. You can also make circles, and you can do circles across the entire gland. You can do circles on just one spot.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do it like a spirograph and do small circles in a larger circular pattern. You can do the come here motion where you curl your finger.
Come here.
That's a good one. You can also slide in and out. As long as you're careful on the slide in to not poke the prostate. And the last one I want to mention is you can press your fingers up against the prostate firmly and then just make your hand vibrate.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So there's lots of ways. And with all of this, don't forget to play with his cock. You just want to keep it at the same frequency. So with each stroke on his prostate, stroke his cock once.
Yeah, it's easy choreography.
Easy choreography. And it's nice to have some good music because that way if you get off your rhythm, just listen to the music and get back on the beat.
What are some good... Okay, now I know we're talking about partner play here, and I want to ask about solo play. But first, what are some good positions to be in for a partner to easily access?
One really good one is to have him on his back with a pillow under his hips to lift everything up and give you some easier access. He can hold his knees or just let them fall open. That's a really easy position to use. Elbows and knees works really well. That works better than hands and knees because...
Oh, bent over.
Bent over,
elbows
like doggy style. Elbows and knees works really well.
Okay.
That's a really good one. A favorite of a lot of guys is standing... and leaning back on something like the edge of a table or the kitchen counter, and then his partner can kneel on the floor and give him a blowjob while massaging his prostate.
So he's standing.
He's standing. Like a standing blowjob.
Like putting, can he lean against a wall and put his shoulder blades up against the wall and just have his feet kind of forward?
That can work too. But the tricky thing is he's going to need to bend his knees a little bit to open up his legs so that his partner can reach more easily. So it's a little easier if you've got something under your hips rather than just your shoulders.
Oh, so you're sitting your tush on the table.
Or just on the edge of the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a picture on our website.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, the picture from the book is on our website to demonstrate that one.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, access is important because you want to be able to play with all the bits.
Exactly.
So, and how about solo?
Solo prostate plays lots of fun. It is a little tricky for some guys. You know, my arms aren't quite long enough to let me reach. Also, I've had tendonitis in my arms twice, and so my wrists just aren't that flexible anymore. So it can be a little tricky to reach your own prostate. But if you do want to do it, try lying on your back with a pillow under your hips or squat down on the floor, which is basically the same position, just rotated 90 degrees, and then you just reach down between your legs.
I'm realizing lately that yoga and physical fitness is incredibly helpful for sexuality.
It's awesome, especially once you hit 30.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's coming up for me, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, now part of why I do yoga is it gives me better flexibility and endurance for sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jessica Drake was on the show last week, and she talked about Pop Physique, which is a hardcore workout ballet situation, and I signed up a couple days later, and my body is dying right now from just being so sore.
You'll get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm committed. It's going to get crazy. But, Charlie, I'm going to be a sexual powerhouse.
I thought you already were.
I'm really good with, like, some stuff. But I would say that I get winded in a way where I'm like, all right.
See, that's cardio.
That is cardio. Well, there's a little bit of cardio, but yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's good to get some good core strength, though. You need to be able to move your hips for any length of time. Belly dancing is really good for that.
Belly dancing is fantastic. But also, like squatting, you want to have strong quads.
Yeah.
And flexibility is important. It's all the things.
It's all the things.
So definitely take it. I don't think I've pushed physical fitness enough, but if you want to reach your own prostate, might be helpful.
Yeah. Also, you know, if you have difficulty reaching with your fingers, use a toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Aneros is a great one. There are some awesome dildos. Vixen Creations makes some great ones. So does Pleasure Works. The Pleasure Works Charm dildos, which you can get at stores like Good Vibrations and Babeland. I like to mention this one because I helped them design that one.
Ooh.
Because a lot of the skinnier dildos, which work better for anal play beginners, are really short.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know, especially if you are interested in pegging, which is when women strap on dildos and fuck a man with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something skinny, you deserve to have something long enough to be able to reach. So I sat down with the folks at Pleasure Works and helped them design one.
Well, thank you for that. You've added to humanity's pleasure and happiness.
I'm a giver.
Yeah.
If you'd like to read it, as it were. If you'd like to check out the charm or read a review of it, go to our website, prostatepleasureguide.net, and look in the blog. Just search for the word charm, and you'll find it, as well as a link to be able to pick one up.
Okay, cool. And, I mean, diameter's important, also, especially for beginners.
Yeah.
Because it's too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes your eyes are bigger than your
ass.
Anus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no reason to get goal-oriented around it.
Hmm. What do you think of shorter hooked toys? I mean, okay, a dildo, you've got all that length, so you can really play with going in, out, and windshield wiping and all the different movements. But what about a very slender hooked, like vibrating toy, like the Vibratex Pandora, for instance?
Some of those are awesome, as long as they are anal safe, so they have a base to keep them from going all the way in.
Oh, yes.
As long as your toy is about 4 inches long, that's mm-hmm. all you need.
Okay.
So a 4-inch-long vibrator that's anal safe, perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
What do you think about vibration anally? Some people are really into it, and I know some people are like, no.
I say yes.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Vibration helps the muscles relax. Mm-hmm. It can feel really, really good. The thing about anal toys and vibration is most people that I've talked to say that they like a deeper, more rumbly vibration. The small little buzzy vibrations are more tickly.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually a fantastic new toy by Jimmy Jane called the Hello Touch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's two little vibrators that have these silicone straps that go on over your fingers,
mm-hmm.
and then the battery pack is on your wrist. And then you've got these little mini vibrators right on your fingertips, and they are awesome for warming somebody up for anal play.
How is cleaning that? Just soap and water? Is it waterproof enough? Because and little wires and everything.
Yeah, they say that it's waterproof. Mm-hmm. I put a glove on. So what I did is I put the vibrator on my fingers and then I put a glove on top.
Ah.
Yeah, the only thing is you're going to want an extra large glove to be able to fit it on over your finger plus the vibrator.
Right, because it's the middle and index finger, wires down, bracelet with the battery pack.
Yeah.
I talked about this a few episodes ago because we're sponsored by Adam and Eve and they have it on their website. And I was like, oh my God, you're carrying it.
It's a fantastic toy. The only thing that I would suggest would make it better mm-hmm. would be if you could adjust the speeds.
Yes, I'm sure that will be a generation two at some point.
Yeah. But it's a fantastic product. And you can also put one on your finger, on your index finger, and one on your thumb. That works really well for G-spot and clitoris.
You naughty monkey, you. That's just too much. No, I can't even handle it. Yes. Thank you for that. Because I've been thinking about the two fingers, but no, the thumb.
Yeah.
You're good. You're good at this whole sex educator thing.
I'm so flattered.
No, and you have a wonderful website, P.S., charlieglickman.com, right?
Yeah.
And
charlieglickman.com, and that's also my address on Twitter and Facebook and FetLife. So I'm very easy to find, and I accept all friend requests. So please feel free to get in touch.
Aw. Actually, I do too, come to think of it.
Yeah. It's easier that way.
Yeah. Like
are you on FetLife?
You know, there is a Sex Nerd Sandra account that I started mainly to post events and kind of just peek at. I love going to events and seeing what's happening, and there's definitely a few that I want to go to soon, but I'm not active on there. It's more of just I jump on, but then sometimes I'll get a listener be like, oh, you're here. Hello. And I'll be like, oh, that was 2 months ago. I apologize, guy.
Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time on FetLife, mostly because I really dislike websites that are white text on a black background. It hurts my eyes. And I understand they want to be all, you know, cool and, you know, dark SM, black website, blah, blah, blah. But I just find it a little less usable than I would like.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
Mm.
But if you're not on FetLife, if you are interested in kink, it's a fantastic website for connecting with people, finding out about events. Just be aware that there are plenty of trolls, because it's the internet.
Trolls of the public posts and things?
Well, or people who will just yank your chain or post offensive things just to, you know, irritate people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
But FetLife is fun.
FetLife is very fun. So, yes, please check Charlie out on all those places. Now, I'm slamming the table. We've talked about the prostate. We've talked about positions, a little solo activity. Prostate orgasms, because I don't want to forget to talk about this. Because I want to talk about prostate orgasms super bad.
Well, let's do it. Because if folks have questions, they can check out our website or the book. Because we cover everything. You know, we really, we cover pretty much everything that you need to know about prostate play.
This is a sampler medley.
Sampler medley.
Knowledge. Is it possible to have a orgasm via prostate play? No penis.
Yes. But not every man can do it. Mm-hmm. In the same way that some women can have G-spot orgasms and others need to have G-spot plus clitoris. So, you know, I don't want guys to get goal-oriented about it. And some of the men I've talked to get really upset that they've never been able to have an orgasm just from prostate play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can manage it, fantastic, enjoy. But there's no reason to force it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to mention that there's a difference here between orgasm and ejaculation.
Yes.
Ejaculation often happens at the same time of orgasm, but not always. Because ejaculation is a reflex of the lower spinal column. It's a circuit between your genitals and the nerves in your lower spine. Orgasm happens throughout your entire body,
mm-hmm.
throughout your nervous system, your brain, your spine, and your entire body. And one way that this makes more sense to a lot of guys is if you've ever had the experience of, you know, it's more common, I find, with masturbation, but you're jacking off or you're having sex with somebody, and you ejaculate, but your feeling afterwards is, yeah, okay, I relieved the pressure, but it was kind of like sneezing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this mind-blowing experience. Yeah. It was, you know, yank, 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 squirt, squirt, squirt. Okay, and we're done. that's an ejaculation without much orgasmic energy. Mm. And you can also learn how to have orgasmic experiences without ejaculating. You don't have to do prostate play to do that, but prostate massage is an especially good way to make that happen.
Okay.
And so instead of a peak and then a drop, it's a peak and then a plateau and then another peak and another plateau, and you can do that for as long as you want.
Hmm.
And you can choose to end that with an ejaculation or not, as you prefer.
I'm squinting and thinking. You know when you're talking to somebody about something they're trying to absorb everything, so they just sort of go blank and are just really trying to... I'm like that right now.
It makes more sense if you can see it.
What? The orgasm?
The non-ejaculatory orgasm.
Oh.
Like, once you see it, it's unmistakable. If you see it, you'll say, yes, that guy just had an orgasm.
Wait, how would you be able to tell?
From his response.
In the...
If you weren't looking at his cock, if you were mm-hmm. ignoring the fact that no semen came out of his penis, mm-hmm. his physical response would look like he had an orgasm.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, that.
But then the person had never experienced that before and was like, wait, I don't know what just happened. Because it feels like I just had 3 orgasms, but I didn't actually come.
Yeah.
And it's like...
No, he did.
Yeah.
He just didn't ejaculate. A great book on the topic is Montauk Chia's The Multi-Orgasmic Man.
Yes.
And there are some people who teach workshops on it. I'm actually teaching my first workshop on... prostate massage and male multiple orgasm next week in San Diego.
Yeah, you've been all around for this book tour.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far we've done West Coast mostly. Mm-hmm. But then over the rest of the year, we'll be hitting the Midwest coming up next. And then this fall, we'll be on the East Coast.
Excellent. Now, do it. Tell everyone about it.
My mission for this next year is to help more men take it up the ass.
It's noble.
It is.
Because, I mean, not everybody's into it. But if you're curious about it and want to explore.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and I actually think that it not only feels good, but it has the potential to really change how men think about sex. Because if you've never received penetration, sex happens outside your body.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've received penetration, suddenly you've got a much better understanding beyond the intellectual awareness of how you can be turned on, you can be into it, and yet you still need a lot of foreplay.
Mm.
And in my experience, and talking with a lot of men and partners of men about this, a lot of guys find that they become much more sensitive, attuned lovers because now they understand physically how you can be completely into it but still need more warm-up. And so they slow down instead of rushing for the finish line. And on the flip side, when women who have never been on the giving side of penetration try it, especially with pegging, they realize that it's awesome and it's fun, mm-hmm. but pegging is a lot of work. Fucking someone, you've got to have core strength for that.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of women I've spoken with have said, yeah, you know, now that I've done this, I understand why my boyfriend could be feeling sexual but not really have the energy to fuck me.
Oh, yeah. No,
because it's a lot of work.
It is. I remember the first time I did that, speechless at how tired I was.
Yeah.
And just muscles giving out and going, oh, I need to find better ergonomic ways to do this.
Yeah.
Because this isn't okay.
And when women are strapping it on, you also don't have to worry about your cock getting soft or coming too quickly or any of that other stuff that guys often think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I really find that pegging in particular, but any kind of men receiving anal penetration really has a lot of potential for giving you an opportunity to walk a mile in the other person's shoes.
It's valuable.
It is. It just makes you a better lover.
Mm, definitely.
For many people. Not everybody, but for many people.
Mm. Compassion is important.
Yeah.
I love anal play in general because it's the opportunity because everyone, because everyone's butt's the same in terms
pretty much,
of the anatomy and the chance to have a reason to slow down and have more foreplay than usual and build your arousal up higher than...
You'll get there faster by going slower.
Ooh. I love the bumper sticker phrases.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I often speak in tweetable sound bites.
That's
like
good.
When I teach workshops or speak at conferences, the people who live tweet me have a great time because I give them lots of juicy quotes.
Way to be tweetable.
Yeah, I think it's a little unfortunate that I can think in 140 characters or less. But
I just saw this great quote by Einstein. You can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough.
Yeah.
So
I agree. 140 characters.
Hey, good work.
Yeah. So
guy.
So my tweetable quote for that is that the world will be a better place when more men take it up the ass. Doesn't have to be everybody, but when enough guys do it, I think it has the potential to change a lot of our sexual culture and attitudes.
10%. Let's give it a number. Let's just give it an arbitrary.
You know, I'm not sure what the tipping point is, but I'm willing to keep working at it until we reach it. Again, because I'm a giver.
You know, if we're talking tipping point, like the bell curve and where we're at and how much more popularity it needs to gain before it really just tips and then suddenly it just spreads like wildfire.
Like butter on toast.
What was the number in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Tipping Point? Do you know? There was a percentage of when something gets popular enough that, like, if it saturates, like, the 8% or the 9%.
Well, the thing is, with this topic, so many people do it but won't talk about it publicly.
There's that.
Yeah, so there's a tipping point in terms of, like, fashion and clothes or music, but I think it's a different thing when we're talking about sex lives.
Did you notice that? Okay, I know you live in San Francisco. So there is a certain bubble there in terms of things like environmentalism and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there was this point. I remember tree hugging. We used to make fun of environmentalists. Then, you know, slowly being green, hybrid cars started happening. And there was a certain sense of like, oh, maybe we should care a little bit more about the environment and the planet and global warming. All of a sudden, there was this point where I looked around and everyone had very fashionable reusable bags. And like, there was this point where suddenly it became sexy and cool and the thing to do. And I feel like with sex, someone, like, there just needs to be something where it just, that moment happens when all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm looking around, there's like a hilarious anal play shirt that person bought on Threadless. You know, like, when is that going to happen?
Ooh, I like that.
Getting back to the prostate.
Bring
let's focus.
Back.
This is very serious. Did you, P.S., did you see at my house my prostate pillow? Or my prostate?
I did, by iHeartGuts.
Yes, okay. I was excited that I was like, oh, I wonder if he'll find the prostate pillow.
I'm very good at finding the prostate.
Oh my God, I love it. You found the prostate in my apartment.
In fact, I think I'll go hide it and see if you can find it.
Ooh, good game. Oh, that's good. Oh my God, can we play that later? Oh my God. Oh, this is too much fun. Okay, so we talked about multiple orgasms. Do you have any specific take-home tips for people if they want to try having a prostate orgasm? Is it just massage, 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 follow the sensation? Or is there something specific people can do, like strengthen their Kegels or PCs?
It does help if you do your Kegel exercises. You know, mm-hmm. We usually hear of them for women, for things like urinary incontinence or after childbirth or mm-hmm. what have you. But everybody's got that same muscle. In women, it's more common for that muscle to lose muscle tone, mm-hmm. a combination of both physical anatomy and childbirth and other stuff. Men's pelvic floors are often too tight. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn how to both strengthen them and relax them. Because tight muscles are weak muscles. So
that's an important thing that really just hit me when you said that.
Yeah.
Because I know tight muscles are a problem, but I never thought of tight muscles as a weak muscle.
Well, the reason why is because if they're too weak to do their job, they go into spasm in order to try to maintain their integrity.
Oh.
Yeah, so the trick to doing Kegel exercises is to both tone them and relax them. And the more you do it, the easier anal penetration is because relaxing the muscles helps you facilitate penetration. There's actually a great iPhone app for this called it's called Kegel Camp, as in boot camp, like exercise boot camp. Kegel Camp.
Write it down, guys.
It was designed by Emily Morse of Sex with Emily.
I did not know she created this.
Yeah, it's awesome. there's 20 levels.
Okay.
And you have to do each level 5 times within a week before it lets you ramp up to the next level. So it takes about 4 months to get all the way up to level 20.
Okay, wait. Hold everything.
And wait, and then it will remind you once a day to do your Kegels.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. And I'll be like, shut up, phone. My pussy doesn't need to talk to you. And then I'll be like, oh, wait. I told myself to do that.
Yeah, do your kegels.
Yeah, so I shouldn't get mad at my phone.
No, not so much.
So bossy.
Yeah. Do your kegels. So that's one thing. But really, because prostates and sexual prostates are very...
I had a follow-up question
I'm finishing
that.
The question you asked before. Because prostate pleasure is really individual, there isn't one path to it.
Uh-huh.
What a lot of guys find is that, you know, they're just going along doing their thing, they're enjoying it, and then the prostate orgasm sort of sneaks up on you. It's one of those things where the more you try to push for it, the less likely it is to happen. If you just let it flow, it's a lot more likely to just show up.
Let it flow. Let that prostate flow.
Let your orgasm flow.
So I just want to make sure, since you just dommed me hard on... But I like
and did you like that?
No, but at the same time, fair I enough. Respect it.
That'll work.
Because you have a strong drive to answer the question in its entirety, even when the tangents for more questions can take you away from the original question. So I like that. But I want to just make sure, in terms of strengthening your PC muscles and relaxing them, my understanding is that to strengthen, you're tightening, going back to normal, and then pushing out.
Well, I like to think of it as squeezing rather than tightening.
Okay.
Like when you make a fist, you're squeezing your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And then relaxing is the reverse of that.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing, when you squeeze the pelvic floor, that's when you're doing the Kegel exercises. And then relaxing, you can actually feel the pelvic floor move down towards the ground a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So squeezing pulls it up into the body, and then relaxing, it goes back down.
You want to feel that movement.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the pelvic floor is supposed to actually move.
Okay. See, that's the piece that I want some people to, you know, have something to hold on to pay attention.
Another pitch I want to mention there is, because a lot of people do have pelvic floor muscular dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
whether because of injury or ergonomics or all kinds of things can cause it, the Pelvic Health Rehabilitation Clinic in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Their website is pelvicpainrehab.com. They're a physical therapy clinic. There are more physical therapy clinics focusing on pelvic health all over the country.
Yes.
And that can be really valuable, because there are muscles in the pelvis that sometimes need some support, in the same way that when you break your leg, you might need some physical therapy for your muscles.
Definitely. I interviewed a pelvic therapist.
Oh, who's that?
Pelvic physical therapist. Her name is Tracy. Oh, shoot. Oh, the episode is called Pelvic Guru.
Okay.
But I'm...
Oh, yes. I know who you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's out east. I cannot remember where she is. Oh, but, Florida.
Yeah. But there's a lot of health conditions that can cause pelvic floor dysfunction, and physical therapy can help.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for mentioning that.
Sure.
It's important.
Yeah, for people of any gender, not just women.
Okay. Prostate orgasms... Does fluid come out? Because I know milking, sometimes fluid will seep out.
Yeah.
Is that something?
It can. Especially because prostate massage, what you're doing is sort of squeezing the sponge. The prostate fills with fluid, and then when you're massaging it, that fluid will get massaged and pressed into the urethra, and then can come out the penis.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes from prostate orgasms, folks do have fluid come out.
Okay.
Especially if he's on his elbows and knees, because then you're getting a gravity assist.
Mm. Okay, this is an advanced question.
Okay.
Well, maybe not advanced, but this is bringing it all together. Let's say...
Bring it home.
Female and male partners coming together, basic penis and vagina penetration. Partner wants to reach the prostate with their finger.
During intercourse. It's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it sometimes in reverse cowgirl. So that's him lying on his back, and then she's straddling him facing away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then she can reach down and reach his prostate.
Get it.
But really, if you want to do prostate play during intercourse, you pretty much either need to use a toy or have a threesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Helping person.
Yeah, it's nice to have a helping hand.
Definitely. Snap. That's the glove going on.
Use the Anaros. The Anaros is great during intercourse.
It is.
And just make sure you use lots and lots of lube. I am a big fan of Wet's Synergy.
Okay.
because it is silicone, so it stays nice and slippery, but it also has water-based ingredients, so it rinses off in the shower.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and is that the lube that if you... The salt content in the body's natural fluids will actually cause that lube to liquefy a little bit more. I remember going to a trade show and they're like, here, and they like put salt on my hands after the lube was on, and then like had me like one hand had salt on it and the other hand didn't, and like the lube started dripping from one hand and not the other. Like
I had no idea.
I just remember, yeah, the synergy had just come out, and you're like, look, it's fancy. That way it doesn't get too goopy until you really get into it. And I was like, well, look at you guys.
Now I need to go try this.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have table salt.
I have synergy.
Well, let's get this going, all right. Charlie.
Let's do it.
Wait, not with me, at my house.
Yeah, I know. I know what you meant.
Are you checking for your...
Yeah, I had a bottle of... wet synergy in my backpack, and I forgot it was there until I got through airport security.
Oh.
So I was just checking to see if I still had it.
Oh, do you have it?
No, it's not with me.
Oh.
I think I put it in my suitcase.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. TSA kinksters. Psh. Okay. Oh, this is important. I can't believe that it took me this whole time before asking you this. External prostate massage.
Oh, yes. That's important. Yeah, you can actually get some prostate stimulation without any anal penetration at all. The easiest way to do that is if you massage very firmly on the perineum, so the area between the balls and the anus, mm-hmm. and you massage up towards the head, because the prostate is just a couple of inches above. So the two things about that, it works better when his cock is erect, because then the base of the cock, which is all the way back there, transmits the sensation more than when it's soft.
Okay, hold the phone.
Okay, you know how the base of the cock...
No, I understand.
Let me say this again.
Okay.
So the base of the cock goes further back into the body, into the perineum.
Yes.
So the prostate is just above and a little bit behind the back end of the cock. So if you're massaging the base of his cock up towards his head, the sensation is going to be transmitted up into the prostate.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
My hold the phone moment is that I'm aware of the bulb of the penis behind
the perineum. I'm saying that for other people.
Right. And we've talked about it. Like I'm butt obsessed to a certain degree. Yeah, he raises his eyebrows at me. FYI. And then you have this insured or whatnot behind the bulb of the penis before you get to the anus.
Right.
And so then I guess in my own personal explorations of experimenting with that, pressing on the bulb wasn't working out. And then I found that going past the bulb and pressing there.
That can work too. Try both.
Okay.
Try both.
And what kind of pressure? Are we talking like full fist, knuckles in, just press it?
It's
firm pressure.
It's more like the pressure you would use if you were massaging somebody's shoulders.
Okay.
But like if you were actually like working their shoulders, not just, you know, tickling them or something.
Mm-hmm. Get in there.
Yeah. The thing is, because the sensation has to be transmitted through a couple of inches of tissue, it's more like massaging somebody who's wearing a sweater. It's not as intense, but it's a nice combination with direct contact too. So you can have a finger inserted anally and massage the sweet spot, the perineum, mm-hmm. and then you're coming up through the basement and the back door at the same time.
Okay. The basement and the back door. Infiltrate.
And if you even want to add a little bit more, he can take one of his hands and put pressure on his lower belly right above his pubic bone.
Yeah.
And then you're compressing the prostate from three directions.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Are you telling me just above the pubic bone, like where the hair is, to press there?
Yeah, towards the spine.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
It also
works for G-spot play. A lot of women really like to have pressure right above the pubic bone while they're getting their G-spot stimulated. Same thing. You're squeezing it from both sides.
I did not know it translated for the male body, Charlie.
Yeah.
I did not know.
It's good stuff.
What about when the male is erect and then gripping the base of the shaft and...
Jostling up and down?
Well, that's a classic.
No, but part of why that works is because the base of the cock inside the body is right next to the prostate. And in fact, some men say that part of why they like a deep, hard, pounding sex
This is pushing the shaft into the body and hitting the prostate, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Oh my God, it's like all the pieces are coming together.
It all makes sense.
Above the pubic bone, the shaft, behind the balls, inside. Oh, you can attack from all angles.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like attacking the Nazis from all sides in World War II.
I don't think I like that metaphor.
I know, but it's like...
It's too violent.
Europe
It's too violent.
Is prostate.
It's too violent. No, it's too violent.
Too
no.
violent.
No.
Okay. No?
No. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Maybe Switzerland is the prostate. No, this is not making any sense.
You know what it is?
D-Day.
It's like making the prostate the center of the cuddle pile.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I just like historical references.
But we need something different then.
Okay, fine.
We need something different.
Well, that was, I'm so glad I asked because that was so much neat information.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when your cock is really, really hard, you can just kind of jostle the shaft up and down and vibrate the prostate with it.
I mean, when you say jostle, you're doing this motion. It's a hand job motion. It's classic.
Well, it's a hand job motion, but instead of stimulating the head of the cock with it, if you grip the shaft and just do a quick up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Okay.
Like little motions.
It's like a joystick.
Little motions.
Little motions, and it's like you're sending a Morse code of vibration down into your body.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah, sounding fork that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you know Morse code, you can send messages to your partner that way.
SOS, baby. Yeah. I don't know any other Morse code.
Me either.
Yeah. Oh, that's the important one, though.
That is the important one.
Can you semaphore to your flag signal to your prostate?
No. Well, no. Maybe. No. I'm going to have to think about that one. With your fingers, you can do that.
I'm just being annoying now. Okay. Any final tips?
If it hurts, you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Add lube, change positions, try something else, add some cock stimulation. You know, if it's unpleasant or uncomfortable, try something else because it should never, ever hurt. And don't let fears or worries around what you think it might mean get in your way. If you're straight and you do prostate play, it's not going to change your sexual orientation. If you're gay and you like prostate play, it's not going to change your sexual orientation. You know, who you like to have sex with and what kinds of sex you'd like to have are not the same thing. So don't let those fears keep you from having an awesome time.
Yeah, it's important differentiation. Man, seriously, guys, check out Dr. Charlie Glickman at his website. Where else? Do all the links,
all
Charlie.
All the links. CharlieGlickman.com, Twitter at Charlie Glickman, Facebook.com/CharlieGlickman. Mm-hmm. Same thing on FetLife. And then the book is prostatepleasureguide.net and also on Twitter at prostateguide and facebook.com/prostateguide. And our travel calendars are on both of those websites.
Yes, the ultimate guide to prostate pleasure.
Available on Amazon.
Yes. Charlie, thank you for coming in. Seriously.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Oh, exciting.
Any excuse to come talk to you for an hour is awesome.
Stop it. Oh my God, let's go find the prostate at my house.
I know.
Okay, guys, you crazy kids, go team fun.